Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The basis for the message is from the gospel lesson. We hear again verse 19. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. Well, on the old TV show Hee Haw, Doc Campbell said that one of his patients came into the room and said, I broke my arm in two places. To which Doc said, well, don't go to those places. But that's the way temptation works, right? We're drawn to the places where we know we are not supposed to be and go. Jesus highlights that in our gospel lesson today. Here we have this wonderful passage in the gospel lesson that brings us this wonderful gospel in a nutshell, but it also speaks about light and dark and how people are drawn to the darkness. And Jesus has to make that clear because it's only understanding that we are drawn to the darkness that we can see that with the coming of Christ and he's lifted up on the tree, he is drawing us to the light. And so that's what we're going to examine today. We're going to examine this draw of darkness, but see even more the draw of light that comes from Christ. But again, as we come to the gospel lesson, it really struck me as I was preparing, because normally we kind of stop after God so loved the world, right? We read that verse and we think, well, that's all we need to hear. But as you read on, it goes further, and we hear Jesus say, people loved darkness. That's quite vivid, is it not? People love darkness. People are drawn to darkness. And Jesus tells us this because it's a reminder of why he had to come. But we see the reality of this. Now, we might, first of all, think about those who are really evil, attracted to evil, those who do gruesome crimes and the rest. But it's not that. It's not just that. We really see it all around us. Think about going online, and you look online, and immediately you get all these ads coming at you, right? And what are the headlines like? They're normally scandalous, something's going on, evil or wicked. But the idea that it's going to draw your attention, right? Because they're trying to get you to go to their website. And they use this stuff because it's effective. But it's not really anything new, is it? I mean, think about the evening news, 6 o'clock or 11 o'clock. Down through the years, how many times haven't you heard people complain? Why isn't there any good news on the news broadcast? Well, because no one would watch, right? It's the other stuff that people are drawn to. Because people want you to watch the news, and if it was good stuff that really drew attention, that's what they would put on. But that's why it's the other stuff that is put on. People, again, are drawn to these sort of things. You see it, right, whenever there's a police car, a fire truck, an ambulance, you're also going to have a crowd, right? People want to know what's going on. How many times have you heard when a tragedy strikes, a hurricane or a tornado, they actually have to tell people stay away because there's so many sightseers that the people trying to get help can't get there. And so again, we see in our nature, in our world, people are drawn to these type of things. But is it just the people out there? What about us? If a siren goes past your house, you see an ambulance or a fire truck or a police, you kind of peek out the window to see? Maybe get out of the porch, you want to know what's going on? We're curious, right? We want to know, right? If you're sitting in the restaurant and there's a heated discussion in the booth next to you, is it easy to ignore? We're curious. Our ears and our eyes and our hearts are drawn to these things. But these aren't the worst things. When Jesus talks about being drawn to the darkness, to the people that love the darkness, he's really talking about sin. That people are drawn to sin. Now, when you think about the difficult cases, the addictions, right? The one who's an alcoholic who knows that it's not good for them, but they still want it. compulsive gambler knows he shouldn't bet, but he's still drawn to it. But it's not just that. Do you struggle with this? It's really a struggle with sin. And who amongst us doesn't struggle with sin? Who amongst us isn't drawn to sin? If we have a temptation to get angry and to have a temper, aren't we drawn to it when things don't go our way? If we have a temptation to gossip, aren't we drawn to it when people speak? Aren't we drawn to share it with other people? Think for a moment. What is it that tempts you? What is it that you struggle with? You know it's not right. You know you're supposed to stop. You come and you confess it Sunday morning, you're forgiven. But how often do you find yourself doing it Tuesday afternoon or later in the week? We're so easily drawn. Why? Because we're born with a sinful nature. When Jesus talks about being drawn to the darkness, he's talked about a sinful nature that is drawn to do what we want to do as opposed to what God's will is for us. And this is what we battle with. Even that sinful nature is there. Even after baptism, even after we've come to faith, that sinful nature is still there, and there is still a struggle. But that's why Christ came, to draw us away from that sin, to draw us away from that darkness, to draw us to himself. And that's what he means when he starts out the lesson today by saying, "And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Whoever believes in him may have eternal life." He speaks about being lifted up so they can draw people to himself. And he's using an analogy from the Old Testament. He uses an occasion, the Old Testament lesson that we heard about the people in the wilderness growing impatient, complaining about no water, complaining about no food, complaining about the manna because they're sick of it day after day after day. And they complain and they whine against Moses and against God. And God sends judgment with sending the snakes. And then they realize they have sinned. And they pray to God that the snakes be removed. But God does something different. He tells Moses to put the serpent up on a pole, bronze serpent up on a pole. And whoever looks upon that serpent will be saved. And the whole idea is that that serpent in the middle would draw people to it so that they could look upon it and have life. And Jesus is making the comparison. Just as that serpent was raised in the wilderness, so must I, he is saying, be raised up, not on a pole, but on a cross. And that all who look to him will be saved. All who look to him will have life. All who look to him will have salvation. And this is how he draws us to himself. And he says this, "But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God." And so as he draws us to himself, he's drawing us away from the darkness of sin. He's drawing us to the light. And when we're drawn to Christ, having been saved by what he has done, now our works are not filled with darkness. Now our works are filled with light. The God carrying out what he has done in us. That's what Paul talked about, that you were created with a purpose to do good works. And God's got a plan for you. He's got people in your life that he wants you to show love to, and a love for him in how we behave and how we act. But it begins with God drawing us to himself. Because we couldn't find him on our own. Left to our own devices, we're always going to be drawn away. We're going to be drawn to evil and to sin. But Christ intervened, allowed himself to go to the cross, taking upon himself our difficulty, our sin. Because he didn't give in to the attraction. He didn't give in to sin. He remained pure. He remained holy. And he gave up his life as the punishment that we deserve. So now we are set free. Now we are drawn to him. Now we come into the light. And ourselves and our sins are washed away. And our good works are seen. And that God's activity is seen in our action. Now God does light through us. And we can rejoice in that. But we still have a struggle, right? Because that old nature lies with us. As long as we live on this earth, there will be that attraction to sin. There will be that waging between being drawn to the darkness and drawn to the light. It will be a struggle that we have each and every day. In those times that we give in to the attraction of sin, that's when our Lord intervenes. That's when the Lord intervenes on your behalf. Draws you back to himself, forgives you, washes you clean, fills you with his light and with his love, so that now you can love him and in your actions love your neighbor. And we know that this is a struggle. It will always be a struggle. And I'm reminded of a joke. Sven was called into the principal's office for his son because Junior got into trouble. And when he gets in the office, the principal tells Sven that his son had stuck an eraser in another student's mouth. You tell that Sven was just rather upset. He turns to Junior and says, "What possible reason would you have to stick an eraser in the mouth of that young girl?" And Sven Junior kind of sheepishly said, "Her mouth was open." Temptation is always going to be there for us. But when you're reminded today, our Lord is always going to be there for us. He's always going to draw us back to himself. He's always going to cleanse us of our sin. He's always going to forgive us and make us his own, now and forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guide our hearts and minds through faith, life everlasting.